We're discussing the Vrajabhajan means Raghunuga Bhakti. And we're discussing these verses about Shastra is not required. This category, there's several verses where Vrindavanas Thakur is saying, for Raghunuga Bhajan, for Vrajabhajan, Shastras are not required. So, of course, that obviously needs some explanation. But he gives several verses to show what he's trying to emphasize here. Of course, Shastras are required. There are guidebooks. There are life and soul. There are teachers. There are liberators. They sweeten us. Shastras, what do Shastras do for us? They teach us. They show us. They purify us. They elevate us. And they sweeten us. We become sweet by associating with Madhura Katha. These are what Shastras do. So, of course, Shastras are essential at every step of the game, from the time of being a bhakta to be a sadhaka, and a bhakta to become a siddha bhakta or siddha devotee. Shastras are part and parcels of our life. If we breathe, then we have Shastras. If we breathe, then we chant Hare Krishna. If we breathe, we worship Guru Vaishnava, Guru Hari and Vaishnavas, Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. But he's comparing Shastras to Braj Bhajan. So the title, this whole section here is called Braj Bhajan, means Raghunuga Bhakti. And these subsections, we have about 10 of them, is that Shastras are not required. 1296. Veda Kedaya Nana Sarinam Anusarad Vakya Jalam Vahanta Santak Satapti Shantye Namama Hari Rasai Kashaya Dandahasya Shrotam Smartam Chayat Saranam Iha Kalayan Sarametat Vivrudham Habrindaranya Radharati Bhavana Mam Alambanam Syastam Sya. Through various types of word jugglery, the Vedas create only doubts. Saintly persons cannot properly pacify my burning heart because they are interested only in love for Hari. I find only contradictions among the processes of sadhana. In other words, sadhus who are studying the various shastras, they want mukti. Where mukti? Vishnu mukti, the Vaishnava sadhus. They want Hari mukti. They want to go to Haridam. Haridam is Vishnu dham, Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha prapti. Dharma, art, ka, moksha. Moksha means, Vaikuntha moksha means prema. Vaikuntha prema means Aishwarya. Opulence, sharsti, samipya, proximity. Enjoy wonderful celestial divine pleasure. So they're only interested in Hari prema. But I'm talking about Vrajabhajan and Radha Prem and Krishna Prem, Gopi Prem. I find only contradictions among the various processes of sadhana described both in the Shrutis and Smritis. Therefore, O Vrindavan, O abode of Sri Radha's lover, Radha Rati Bhavana, Ha Brindaranya Radha Rati Bhavana, Mamalambanam, my Alambanam, Syastama. You are my only shelter. Vrindavan is the place of Radha and Krishna, Bhas. Vrindavan is the place of gopis, Bhas. Vrindavan is the place where no one knows Sanskrit, Bhas. Everyone speaks Brajbhasha. And everyone loves Krishna. Why they love Krishna, they don't know. Someone says, oh gopi, why do you love Krishna? He's beautiful. He's charming. He's sweet. But where do you find all this in the Shastra? What is your basis of your love? What is your sadhana? My sadhana? Oh, you're asking me my process of sadhana. Oh, I churn yogurt in the morning. That's your suve bhajan. I churn yogurt and I make butter, makan. And then Krishna comes to my house, breaks in and steals it. And I, pakarosham, I catch him by the hand. And I pull his ear, and he looks at me so, and I let him go and say, oh, don't do that again. And I start laughing, and I go and I start licking up all the footprints on the floor. I get down on my hands and knees, and those little footprints where he ran out of my house, and they're all butter-stained floor, and all the makan, that beautiful fresh makan, I bow down on my hands and knees and I lick up every footprint of Shyam, of Gopal. And after I do that, I go unconscious in ecstatic love. This is my Vatsalya Sadhana Bhajan. Vatsalya Rati Sadhana Bhajan. And then this Durvasa Muni says, oh, that's beyond me. I only know Shrutis and Smritis. That's beyond me. So this is Vrindavan Bhajan. It's Ragmarg, Bhavmarg, spontaneous. It's based on love, charm, sweetness, and beauty. Shastras and vidhi and vishade and do's and don'ts and yamas and rites and rituals. Oh, hey, Gopi. Narada Muni goes to one Gopi. Hey, Sakhi, why do you love this boy, Shyam? Oh, why I love Shyam? I love Shyam because I'm a Gopi. I'm a Braja Gopi. And I'm born in this village, and he's born in my village. He's a boy of my village. So naturally I love him. He's a gaon gwal. He's one of the coward boys. I've never seen anybody more playful and funny in my whole life. So my heart naturally reaches out to him, and my mind is captivated by his every word and movement. That's why I love him. Acha. And what is your sadhana that you're doing to attain perfection in your program, your line of your dharma? Oh, my sadhana? See, I know something about painting. So I get some canvas and I get some paint. And then I close my eyes and I think about the last time I saw that boy, that Gopal, that Govinda. And I think, oh yeah, it was yesterday afternoon. And it was about 4 o'clock. And it was this Ulta Leela, what they call it, coming back from the cows. There's Gocharan, then coming back, there's another name. Uttara Gosta. Uttara Gosta Leela, he's coming from the Gosta. And I remember that. It wasn't too many hours ago. It was yesterday around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Now it's about 9 in the morning. And I'm thinking, how did he look as he passed the palace? His hair sprinkled with the brownish-gray dust of Barsana, and the cows mooing, and the boys walking slightly in front of him. He was lagging behind, kind of walking a little bit by himself. And nearby was Subal on one side, and Mato Mungo, but all the other coward boys are 100 meters or so away. And I'm seeing that, and I meditate, and I start thinking deeply on that. Then I take my paints and my brush, and I try to, when I'm meditating on things, I start painting on the canvas. And after some hours, I get lost in that painting. I don't even know what time it is. And then my mother comes and says, hey, Beta, Prasad, Mahaprasad, you've been painting for 2 hours, 3 hours. Now it's time for lunch, Prasad. Please come. Acha, Mom. Janani, I'm a little busy now. I just want to finish this one scene, and then I'll come. You please keep. Don't mind. Okay, Beta, I'll keep everything for you. She goes back. Now she paints and paints all the way until sunset. And then, because her mother ate lunch and fell asleep. And then at sunset, she takes that painting and then she gets an oil lamp. She has one oil lamp and she puts it on a table next to the painting. And she gazes at the painting. This is what this Gopi is telling Narada Muni, her process of sadhana. So I gaze at that painting and I look and I look and I start realizing how beautiful Shyam is and how sweet he is. His face is so attractive. And it seems that his eyes are speaking to me from the painting. His eyes are speaking to me, and he's conveying so many sweet messages through his eyes in this painting that as I look at this painting, I start crying. I don't know how it happens to me. I feel a little embarrassed to tell you, but I start crying as I look at this painting, and then I start trembling, and then Narada Muni says, oh, Sakhi, stop. That's enough. I understand your process of sadhana. This is Braja Bhajan. This is Raghunuga Bhajan. Where is the Smritis here? Where are the Shrutis here? Therefore, Vrindavan, O abode of Sri Radha's lover, you are my only shelter. Let's see our other translation. 1296. The Vedas spend a great net of words that lead to many paths. And all those paths lead to suffering. The saintly sages are not able to pacify me. I am burning in the fire of the hope. I am burning in the fire of the hope. Asha Bandha Agni. I am burning in the fire of hope to taste the nectar of love for Shyam. The Shrutigan, the followers of the Shrutigan and Smritigan, the followers of Shruti and Smriti. What are the Shrutis? The original Vedas, Atharva Veda, Yajur Veda, Rig Veda, Sama Veda. What are the Smritis? The Upanishads, the Puranas, Mahabharata, Itihas, the Shrutis and Smritis. The followers of all these sacred texts, they oppose everything that I hold dear. O Vrindavan, O abode of love for Srimati Radharani, you are my only shelter. So we want to see the verse here. Ha Brindaranya, Radharati Bhavan. Oh, that's beautiful. Someone said, oh, what should I call my house? I'll call it Radharati Bhavan. They use these names, Bhavan this, Bhavan that. Radharati Bhavan. O abode of love for Srimati Radharani. So he's saying, O Vrindavan, Ha Vrindavan, Radharati Bhavan. We're reading these verses in a very boring, pedantic fashion. But actually, these are outpourings of his love. These are outpourings of his ecstasy. He's not writing a book. Each of these verses came as a volcanic explosion of his various ecstasies. He didn't sit down, okay, write this verse. Okay, what's verse 97? It's not like that. You have something called a diary. This is a diary of ecstasy. A diary of Vrindavan ecstasy. The diary of Vrindavan Das Thakur's ecstasy. Devotional ecstasies. That's the subtitle for this book. The diary of Vrindavan Das Thakur's devotional ecstasies. Of Braj Bhakti. Ecstasies in Braj Bhakti. So he didn't write verse 96. Okay, in verse 97. Now, paragraph 1. Now paragraph 2. It's not like that. You have a book called a diary. And some people keep a diary where they don't write every day. I have a diary. I write about 3 or 4 entries every year. That's a diary. Something happens to me in my life. I meet someone. I see, dream of Prabhupada or whatever. I write it down. Sometimes. Mostly I'm too lazy. So at the end of the year, I've collected 3 diary entries. You follow what I'm saying? So this is his diary of his ecstatic sportis. These are his sportis. He had sportis. Sometimes he writes about a pastime, which he saw in a sporti. He didn't write verse 1. Okay, sporti 1. Writes sporti 2. Sporti 3. Yeah. Sporti is a divine dispensation. It's a gift of God, where he allows himself to be seen in such a uniquely personal, intimate, confidential way that you feel that it's so real you can reach out and touch the Lord or grab Radharani's feet, embrace Radharani's feet. But it's a vision, a mental vision deep in your consciousness and mind in deep states of Dhruvanusmriti and Samadhi at the level of Bhav and Prema. Smritis come at Bhav and Prema when one is engaged in Dhruvanusmriti and Samadhi. There's Dharana, there's Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyanam, Dhruvanusmriti and Samadhi. These are the later steps of the yogic ladder. The Yama Niyama Asan, etc. On to Pratyahara, Dharana, like this. So then he would have spurtis, and he would write, okay, basically it's not verse 96, 97, it's entry. You follow? He writes entry 96, what we call verse 96. Now he writes 97 maybe 5 days later. Maybe a month later. Do you understand? Yeah. Like 365 days go by in a year, and I write 5 entries. I wrote something, last time I wrote something was 4 months ago. So these individual verses are not written in a machine gun repetition or succession. He writes one now, and he goes into his bliss of samadhi, or because you see, it works like that. He writes a verse, one verse is intimate, confidential, rahasya lila of Radha and Krishna. The very next verse is about women's bodies or a bag of stool. Do you think that's a continuation of a spurti? Do you think that's a continuation of a meditation? No. It's a feeling or emotion or a thought he had days later or months later. This is the evolution of this book. For example, you may write, your diary may contain anything significant. So you have a spurti, if you're a Bhava Bhakta, a Priya Bhakta, and you write it. It's entry number one, which is calling a text, but let's understand more correctly. For organization, they call it text one, chapter one, all that. That's just the way he organized his diary. You have a spurti one day, on Monday in January, and you write about it in a very poetic and beautiful way because he's such a scholar and pure devotee pundit. Then 2 months go by and you meet some brahmachari, some baba, whatever, and he has just fallen down with some woman. And he's your good friend. And it really touched your heart. And you preached to him and you put him back together and got him back in a devotional standing. But it touched your heart and you thought about, oh, these women, it's so difficult for the sadhakas living in Vrindavan. It's so difficult. What are these women? I'll write something. So he writes a verse. That's how to explain the flow of these verses. We've been studying this book since 1988. And we use quotes from this book in several of our books. 1991, our book, Appreciating Vrindavan, is sprinkled with many wonderful quotes. The inspiration for my book, Appreciating Vrindavan, comes from Vrindavan Das Thakur. Although I hadn't mentioned to this point because it was a little confidential, I'm now speaking on this book out of gratitude for the mercy we've received from, excuse me, not Vrindavan Das Thakur, of course that's there, but this book is Prabodhananda Saraswati. We used to go to his bhajan kuti at Kaliadaha and often pray there when we were writing this book, Appreciating Vrindavan, because we took his book was our inspiration. His book is called Vrindavan Mahimamritam, which is the subtitle of this book. Is appreciate. His book can also be called Appreciating Sri Vrindavan Dham. Do you agree?
Yes.
In this case, the author wrote the book 500 years ago, and his name is, he's a Nitya Parishad of Lord Garanga and Radharani. His name is Tungavidya Sakhi. And he titled the book with the Sanskrit title of the Sanskrit verses, Vrindavan Mahimamrita. We, his very fallen Kripa Patra Vaishnav Praya, his very fallen, almost Vaishnav, very fallen recipient, almost Vaishnava, we wrote a book inspired by him, and we wrote an English book, so we gave it an English title. And the title was Appreciating Sri Dham Vrindavan. And the book is simply a new presentation, same presentation in my own way and realizations of this book, which we first contacted in about 2 yugas ago, about 24 years ago. So I felt a strong pulling towards the Prabodhananda Saraswati and missing his bhajan kutir behind the banyan tree on the banks of the Yamuna where Krishna vanquished drove Kali out of Vrindavan. And he set up his bhajan kutir there. Very interesting place to do bhajan. One can only understand his inner meditation because the Kali Alila represents particular aparads and so many other types of thoughts and ideas, which is we've often thought about in our own personal meditation on Prabodhananda Saraswati and prayers, and that is part of our private collection. At any rate, this book is wonderful, and we're appreciating this translation. He's saying here, it's so nice, he's saying that, O Vrindavan, O abode of love for Srimati Radharani, that's English, but Sanskrit is Ha Vrindaranya, Radharati Bhavan. Bhavan means house. So Radharani, we want to live not in Rastriya Bhavan, Rastriya Pati Bhavan. We don't want to live in Rashtriya. We don't want to live in Rashtriya Pati Bhavan. We want to live in Radha Rati Bhavan. Is Radha Rati or Rashtriya Pati? Radha or Rashtriya? Rashtriya, no thanks. And Pati, no thanks. We don't want Pati, we want Rati. So what a beautiful way in Sanskrit to describe, I left my heart in Vrindavan. I left my heart in Brindaranya Radharati Bhavan. Where do you live? Oh, I live in Radharati Bhavan. Acha. Where's that? Oh, it's 8 kilometers from Mathura. Acha. Radharati Bhavan. Is that somebody's house? Yeah, it's a house of pure love. It's a house of Nirmal Shuddha Prem. Nirmal Vishuddha Madhurya Prem. Ujjwala Laras. Acha. Radha Rati Bhavan. That's a beautiful place. Where is that house? That house is in Barsana. Acha. Someone, who lives there in that house? Radha. Why is it called Radharati? Because she lives there with many Manjaris and Sakis. The Sakis, they stay there. I'm also one of them. And we come and take a rotating basis. You know, you remember Prabhupada? Like Prabhupada's, like sannyasis and his secretaries, they used to be Prabhupada's secretary on a rotating basis and travel with Prabhupada and serve him. So we Sakis and Manjaris, on a rotating basis, we come and stay with Radharani in Barsana or Yavat. And we stay for a week or two, and we serve her and intimately take care of her. Then we go back. Sometimes Vishakha Sakhi stays there, sometimes Lita and others, they stay overnight with Radharani in Lita and Yavadar Barsana. So there, and we who all live there, we have Rati for Radharani and that Bhavan. Everyone who stays in that Bhavan has Rati. What does Rati mean? Intense loving attachment. Rati. Rati is the wife of Kamadev. Kamadeva is lust, and Rati is attachment. Rati is the wife of Kandarpa, Kamadeva, Cupid. So we live in Radha Rati Bhavan. Radha Rati Bhavan. What is Radha Rati? And of course, there's greater Radha Rati. This is the specific. You ever heard of Noida and Greater Noida? Yes. You ever heard of Mumbai and Greater Mumbai or something like that? So there's Radha Rati Bhavan, and there's greater Radha Rati Bhavan. So Radharati Bhavan is Barsana. That's the actual Bhavan. But those who live in Radhakund and Govardhan and Vrindavan and Chaitanya Vihar, they live in greater Radharati Bhavan. Because what is the meaning of Radharati Bhavan, greater or lesser, or what? Original. The meaning is that, so what does it mean to live in Radharati Bhavan or greater Radharati Bhavan? That's a question for the internet. It means, Bhavan means abode or place or house. That place where people live who have intense loving attachment for Radha, that is Radha Rati Bhavan. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai. So Ha Brindaranya Radha Rati Bhavan. Mam Alambanam Syastram Eva. This is my Alambanam. Alambanam is one of the aspects of Vibhav, Alambanam. Vibhav Alambanam. The Vibhav Alambanam, and there's the Vibhav Udipan. So Alambanam means the Ashray, Premashraya and Premvishaya. The Alambanam Premashraya is Radhika, Radhika Rai. And the Alambanam Premavishaya, the object of love, is Shamsundar Krishna, Damodar Madhav. Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. So he's saying, Prabhupada Saraswati, Mam Alambanam Syastram Eva. My Alambanam, this is Mamata Bhav. Ha Brindaranya! Ha Brindaranya! Radharati Bhavan! Oh, Radharati Bhavan. Oh, house of Radha's affection. Oh, abode of Radha's love. Because everyone in Vrindavan has intense loving attachment for Radha. The trees, the deer, the peacocks, the swans, the cuckoos and quails, monkeys and cockatoos. She has a pet monkey named Cockatoo. And that Cockatoo Bundor, or Bundorini, or whatever it is, that female monkey, Cockatoo, she has Radharati, intense loving attachment for Radha. And Jatila, Kutila, everyone. And what to speak of Yashoda? Yashoda has intense Radharati, intense loving affection for Radha. She loves her like a daughter and says so when she meets her. And he's saying, oh, Radharati Bhavan, and I'm living here with all these wonderful devotees. And Mama Alambanam, what is my Mama Alambanam, my Vibhav, that Bhav that is the foundation of my heart. Who are my Alambanam? My Alambanam, who is my Prema Shraya? My Prema Shraya is Mahabhav Sarupini Radha. She is my Prema Shraya. She is the reservoir of love, the unlimited reservoir of love, the Rasa, Prema Rasa Samudra. And who is my Alambanam Vishai? Prema Vishai, the object and focus of my loving attachment and services and prayers and meditation surrender is none other than Shyam Sundar. He is the Vibhav Alambanam, Prema Vishai, Shyam Sundaram. So he's saying, Mam Alambanam Syastam Eva, you are my only shelter. We don't find do we find the word shelter here in this first book? We don't. But here he says, you are my only shelter. Where do you find shelter here? Ha Brindaranya Radharati Bhavana Mama Lambaram Syastam Eva. He takes the authors in both cases, the translators have taken the word Mama Lambaram and said, you are my shelter. And we simply elaborated what is the meaning of Mama Lambaram. It's all part of Bhava Bhakti and the experience of Bhav. There's a Stairati, then Vibhav, and Anabhav, and Satvik Bhavs, and Sanchari Bhavas. And they all mix together and create the wonderful experience of Prema Bhakti Ras. Vrajaras. So let's read another. So this is verse. We'll read another verse here. Next verse is 13:42. Verse 42. Param yepi samastat shastra jaladhar yattar mamaiti piyati yagyash chet paramotta mottamattaya Pragyana Brindavanai. Ete Twatravarna Matraka Dvi Devop Yasmad Vidanam Mata. Savagya Sakale Stutta Parataram Brindavanam Ye Vidu. If a person who has studied all the scriptures does not recognize Sri Brindavan as the topmost abode, then my opinion is, in my opinion, he is certainly a fool. But, on the other hand, one who has realized Sri Vrindavan as the transcendental truth is glorified by all learned persons, even if he has not acquired basic education. That's a fact. There are many devotees that have come and take shelter of Sri Dham Vrindavan. They've come at the age of 7, 6, 8. They had the calling in their heart. They ran away from their homes in Assam, Bangladesh, Orissa, Bengal, UP, Haryana. And they came to take shelter of Brajabhumi at the feet of a sadhu. And they surrendered to him and they served him. They didn't know how to write their name. They were so young. They had no education. They did bhajan and guru seva and Hari Guru Vaishnav seva humbly and sincerely with all determination and purity. Year by year they advanced on the bhakti marg, and gradually after 20, 30 years they became Siddha Mahatmas, great devotees of the Lord. And their biographies, they're described in the various biographies you can read about the great Vaishnavas. Braj K. Bhakta, there's one book in Hindi by Obiyal Kapoor, has the biographies of 250 saints of Vrindavan. And it's incredible. So what happened by taking shelter in Vrindavan, although they had no education, they realized that Vrindavan is the topmost abode. No matter where I am or where I'm staying, I should run there and take shelter there. They took shelter of the Vaishnavas and Vrindavan, and they became perfect devotees, so perfect that all the big pundits of Mathura and Banaras and other places, they had come to Vrindavan to fall on the dust of his feet and get his ashirvad and blessings and ask for some instructions. Can you instruct us? Can you give us some insight how to improve our lives or how to understand? And even they come with the shastras and they come and say, we would like to discuss something from the shastras. And actually, he never studied anything, but he has full realization of all the shastras. And when they present some point, he's saying, what is it saying in Sanskrit? And he has some, over all these years, he picked up some contact with Sanskrit. And he gives the most illuminating answers and descriptions of these verses. This is the result of Vrindavan Dham. And we've met such persons. And they exist today, and they've existed over hundreds of years. You can read their biographies to confirm what I'm saying. So he's saying here, but one who has realized Sri Vrindavan as the transcendental truth is glorified by all learned persons, even if he has not acquired basic education. Now this verse, this is 1342. If scholars have crossed to the further shore of the ocean of all Vedic scriptures, those particular scholars have done that. In other words, they are Chaturvedi, Vidvan, Shastra Shiromani, Mahamandaleshwara, Sri Shimad, Pandit, Shubha Vaishnav Shrestha, Ekadasazar Ott, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sharma, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sharma, G. Maharaj, Goswami. That's their very short and simple title of these great pundits. And they have gone so far, and they don't recognize the supreme exalted position of Vrindavan, then, so that's the conclusion here, is that Vrindavan is the greatest teacher, Vrindavan is the greatest guru, Vrindavan is the greatest purifier. Vrindavan is the greatest elevator. Vrindavan is the greatest forgiver. Vrindavan is the greatest blesser. Vrindavan is the greatest everything. Sridham Vrindavan ki jai.